This is a replay of the Tuesday night, February 10th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine, as long as it has no import whatsoever. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, just pure fun, a way to ignore everything else that is going on in the world. All right, you can do that the other 21 hours of the night. Now, your brain may thank you for training. Oh, man. I read more and more of these articles because lately I really think that maybe I am headed down dementia road. You know, it's one of those things where you think back in the day and there's like 2 hours you can't account for. Or sometimes it's second. Like I've been in the shower and did I wash my feet? Absolutely cannot remember. And it's scary because I used to absolutely have a mind like a steel trap. There was one corporation I had for like, I didn't do the annual reports for a good 20 years ago. And mind you, this is about 40 years ago. So the statute of limitations long over on that. But I thought, well, I'd better catch up. And I sat there over one weekend and did 20 years of corporate reports and didn't even have to look at what the financials were each year because I remembered. Yeah, now I walk into the room and I don't even know why I came, right? So I'm always interested in what it is that will improve my cognitive functioning. And now a new study links visual speed training to 25% lower dementia risk among older adults. Now, this was reported in the just spellbinding journal Alzheimer's and Dementia Translational Research and Clinical Interventions. Oh, good. Can't wait to read that. But if you're looking for something that might put you to sleep, I think I just found it. But what they are saying is that if you're over 65 and willing to log a few hours a year on a specific brain game, a new study suggests your future self might thank you. So researchers tracked 3,000 older adults. And when I say tracked, I mean for decades, all right, which is really strange that they could even find them. But nonetheless, what they discovered was that those who completed up to 23 hours of a visual speed training program over a three-year stretch were 25 less likely to be diagnosed with dementia. Now, of course, you probably already know you don't need basic statistics to see what the variables could be in this. But nonetheless, you will throw caution to the wind and look at this. And what they are saying was that the deal is with cognitive programs, some are speed-based, some are memory-based, some are reasoning-based. The control group that received no training over a six-week period, of course, showed pretty much statistically similar results as you'd expect. Also, with the deal of memory and reasoning, it was only the speed group that got the lower dementia rate. So, yeah, you might reason yourself to kingdom come or being able to remember, God only knows, but man, you do speed training. And so you say to yourself, what's speed training? And this is where the journal becomes a little suspicious, because they are talking about the double decision game on subscription-based Brain HQ. Yeah, all right. Training people to rapidly pick out and respond to visual details on a screen. A process that researchers liken to the split-second judgments made while driving. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should turn in a driver's license, because I don't make any split decisions on any screen or quick decisions as far as that. So what they're saying is that in the study, and the reason that they had it in the journal and all that kind of stuff, was that it seemed implausible that there would be benefits decades later. But that's exactly what they found. But again, they found it only in speed training, not in memory or reasoning. And so apparently they're believing that the adaptive nature of the training taps into implicit learning and potentially boosts cognitive reserve. Bottom line is, they don't know, but it is interesting, don't you think? So 888-876-5593. We thank Engineer Bob for that. He sends me the best links, and you have no idea how much it saves me. That's right, because usually 30 seconds before I'm on the air, I'm still processing a commercial or something. And so it is that when I've got all these wonderful things to talk about, it just makes my life immeasurably easier. But it's always a joy to see Nick on tap. So Nick in Baltimore, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call.
Always.
I've been under the weather. I'm a little better now. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's
been standard, miserable here.
Standard creeping crud?
Hopefully it'll get warm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the standard seasonal creeping crud, or are we talking autoimmune nightmares?
Me, yeah. Well, I tell you, today was my birthday, so.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you, and I made it through another year, so I'm way out of the demographic now, but, you know, what the heck, so at least we're still here, right?
Yeah, absolutely, that's wonderful. Hopefully it was a decent day and you felt okay today.
I might as well say I'm 69 years old, so.
Oh, a child, that's wonderful.
A child?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I feel great. I still feel like I'm 20. I just can't do what I used to do.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know.
Well, I had a couple of questions here.
Right.
A friend of mine in Arkansas, he has an antique radio.
Yeah.
Zenith High Fidelity.
Oh, nice.
And he wants to get this thing repaired.
Yeah.
So are there any antique radio repair places?
There's a ton of them. There are a ton of them. In fact, the first thing I would suggest is he looks for places that are near him. Like even in Miami, which is next to Globe in Arizona, not the one in Florida, they've got an antique radio place that repairs, restores, and sells only antique radios. But, you know, you literally look this up on Google and you find more than you'll ever be able to read. And there's also things like the Arizona Antique Radio Club, and they probably have them in other places too, where they have they have all the information on who can repair it. So where is your buddy?
And he's in near Fort Smith.
Okay. Ah, yes. Home of Don Ray Media. Okay. I can tell you stories. All right. So let's see. Fort Smith, Arkansas, right on the border there. So first thing,
it's near, well, it's near, he's not far from Tulsa, I think. It's
no,
like
he's right
hours.
On, he's, yeah, Fort Smith is literally right on the border, but I bet you you'll find places closer is what I'm saying, and very often in small towns. So what you want to do, like antique radio repair, like you mentioned Tulsa, so let's just punch in Tulsa. And I bet you will find them, because there's no shortage of this. It's hobbyist stuff. So here's one in Claremore, Oklahoma, which is not far. Many Moons Audio. All right. And
many moons on you.
Right. And one guy wrote, restored my 49-year-old Marantz. So back when Marantz really was a good brand. Yeah. Now, SpeakerWorks. And SpeakerWorks, I think, is right in Tulsa. And it's a quality vintage radio repair work. So the bottom line is, I think that he should be able to come up with a lot of them. Like there's H. Lara, which is Heartland Antique Radio, and it's the Heartland Antique Radio Association. And so what's neat about that on groups like that is invariably they know who's in the area and who's good and who's not. So if he'll go to hlara.org, he can probably find out all about it. So
and let me see. Give it to me again.
Okay. HLARA .org, and it stands for Heartland Antique Radio Association. And so that is the deal. And they're incorporated right in Oklahoma. And yeah, in fact, they even have their certificate
the
of
right
incorporation.
Direction.
Yeah.
So that's HLHRA.org?
HLARA. HLARA. Stands for Heartland Antique Radio Association. HLARA.org. And so that is the deal there. And you've got a lot of email addresses of their people right on their website. And one of them is a guy, Raymond Cady, who actually has goldenageradiorestoration.com. That's near Oklahoma City. But nonetheless, right on his homepage, he's got a Zenith 7S363, you know, that big honking monster that's furniture is what it is. And so the nice thing about it is that it is... from what I understand, reasonable. And he also sells them, like he's got a 1948 Westinghouse for sale and a 51 Westinghouse and a 41 Western Royal and a 1980 GE, a little more recent, but nonetheless. So, yeah, Golden Age Radio Restoration. And that's exactly what it is, goldenageradiorestoration.com. So this is one that there is no shortage of this.
Okay. Golden Age Radio Restoration. That sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the HLARA, probably would be able to give you all sorts of things. I'm looking at their links right now, and whoa, boy, there's a lot of links on this. They have a group, Oklahoma Vintage Radio Collectors, OKVRC.org. And so...
Do me one more favor, because not only am I slow with this, I'm kind of...
Here's what you do.
Bad.
You send me...
Send
me an email. And what I'm going to do is send you links.
Okay. I'll email you.
Yeah, that'll be the easiest. But, I mean, they've even got tube databases, you know? And
that's what he needs, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are so nice, those big pear-shaped tones that come out of some of them. Yeah, absolutely.
I had an old Zena Transoceanic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was a 1952 one.
Yes.
And that had always, that was a decent radio, but it had a lousy, you know, the beginning of the AM dial was crappy.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. And even on some of the restored ones, I've noticed that too. I said that to John on some of those Transoceanics. But I laugh because I remember so well when the Transoceanics were all tube. And they were just heavy as hell. And they had a handle on it, and they said portable. No, it's the handle was for luggable. That was not portable.
No.
Those were heavy
suckers.
And, you know,
you could put batteries in it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Weigh it down further, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I lost that one in a big flood we had back in 1971, but... my dad got that one from a friend of his who was closing his place up, and he said, "Oh, you want this? Because I'm getting rid of everything." And he said, "Oh, my son might like that." So, yeah, I used that thing heavily back in the '60s and into the '70s, and so 71 we lost it.
Yeah,
but I tweaked it, by the way, I opened it up and I actually manipulated, you know, the tuning condenser, the you know, the wafers.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful with that because, you know, they break.
Yeah.
And but it actually, once I did that, it cleared up that AM problem.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
No, I do believe it. Absolutely. And very often that's the case. I was just looking. There used to be an antique radio club in Fort Smith, and it may still be active. I'll try to find that because that would be, you know, right in his neighborhood.
Okay, I'll send you the email.
Yeah.
The other question I had was WBT in Charlotte, the AM.
Yes.
What's going on with that? Because...
Well, they're not saying.
I've seen nothing and heard nothing.
Well, they're keeping the license, so they claim. They haven't turned it in. And this is Radio 1 that bought it, of course. And, you know, BT's been owned by several people over the years. The most notable, the one that we all liked that was just classy, was when it was Jefferson Pilot, of course. And those studios at 1 Julian Price Place and all that. It was just lovely. It was AM, FM, TV, and Jeffersonics production. And it was very nice. But, you know, it's been sold several times and since then. And of course, the call letters stand for what Watch Buick Travel. That was, by the way, not the original handle for it. They were just issued call letters. But a Buick dealer actually bought the station and said, oh, WBT, Watch Buick Travel. Yeah, well, the idiot Buick dealer, he's the one who sold half the signal for KFAB in Omaha. So they went from a 1A to very directional. That's how that happened. And just a heartbreak because, you know, at night you couldn't hear BT in Gastonia after that. So just a disaster. But anyway, so they moved the BT programming to FM. And they keep saying coming soon, but so is the second coming, I guess. It might take just as long. But I don't know. So they're not saying, other than they say watch this space, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Yeah.
Well, what would be really scary is if they sold the land and hand back the license.
Yeah. Well, that'd be sad.
Of course it would.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, when we're talking the deal on that is we're talking emotion, irrationally.
Right.
There's there's probably no sense in doing too much with it, especially if the land is worth something. But you know, so far it's yet to be revealed programming, and from what I understand, the AM's a loop. It's one of those messages telling you that hey, we're now on 107.9, just to the left of your glove box. But we can't use that anymore because you don't have slide rule dial radios. But yeah, that's the idea. So they're at 107.9. Someone has to be, and that's the deal.
You know, the thing about it, and I promise I'll let somebody else get in here. I just wanted to say it was the magic of radio because without a satellite dish, without the internet, we could spin that dial at night and get everything.
Oh, of course. No, well, firstly, there was so much less RF to bother it. And, of course, the radios from back in the day were exquisitely sensitive, and so that was wonderful. But, you know, we all laughed. I'm sure you did, too, that it seemed like it was a conspiracy that when you were DXing a station, every time it got to the call letters, it faded out. So you'd wind up having you'd listen for an hour. You know, you'd listen to commercials and... You know, you'd say to yourself, well, gee, won't they tell me the city? Well, they don't have to. The people living there know the city. But for the rest of us, yeah. So that's the the beauty of DXing, absolutely. But as I say when I talk about C-Crane, and I will hear in another moment, let's face it. If they had Wi-Fi radio when we were young, well, maybe not you because you're still young, but for the rest of us, when we were young, you know, in the 50s, we would have never left the bedroom. I mean, I would have had my mother slide meat under the door because I'd never have to leave the room. I'd be listening to everything all the time.
I would have. I was probably the same way because I was just saying this to my friend down in Arkansas. If we'd have had this stuff back then, I'd have never left my bedroom.
No, I wouldn't have. I would have had no friends, no nothing. I wouldn't have needed them. Absolutely. You know,
no.
I mean, I remember the thrill of the first time I accidentally wound up getting a listen line and hearing radio stations from far away on the phone. Yeah, and of course I got addicted to that, and oh my God, the phone bills. But yeah, that's times a million to get Wi-Fi radio. Yeah, man, oh man.
Well, you know, speaking of the Siegfried Company, I'm going to look into getting their crank radio.
That's what I'm just going to talk about, the CC Radio Solar. And that's why,
the one I want.
Yeah, that's why I love this radio, because there's no other radio made that's going to work no matter what.
Right. I need one of those, because mine just, the one I had just died, and I want to get theirs because there's a better quality product.
Well, and it's nice, and it's fairly little, too. I remember years ago, the first time Bob Crane came up with a wind-up radio, of course, I had to have it, but hell, it was the size of a pumpkin, you know, and now this is a beautiful little brick-sized, doesn't weigh as much as a brick, but a brick-sized and white, and that little hand crank on the back, just amazing, because let's face it, you know, your emergency radio, when you need it, it doesn't have the batteries running. Of course, there is no power. You probably didn't leave it in the sunlight, but man, hand crank it for 30 seconds, it'll play for 30 minutes.
And it's a good tuner, too.
Yeah, well, that's everything. Bob Crane wouldn't develop anything that didn't.
So, that sounds good. I think I'm gonna order one, so you go ahead and do the commercial.
I'll do
I'll
it.
Listen to
All
it.
All right, good deal, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye. Yeah, absolutely true, and I love this radio. It's the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth now. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and look at the CC Radio Solar, the wind-up emergency radio. But what it really is, it's the radio that works no matter what. And when you have an emergency, that matters. Oh, sure, you can get an adapter and listen on AC power if you want. You can put the batteries in and listen on battery. That's fine. You can put it in the windowsill and, you know, let it get some solar power, and that'll play for hours. And that's just wonderful. But when you've done none of that and the power's off and you reach for the radio that otherwise is a brick, man, you hand crank the back of this for about 30 seconds. It plays for about 30 minutes. But not only that, it solves your flashlight problem because it's got a light. Yeah, it's just a terrific little radio. And there's so much more involved. And, of course, the weather band and the NOAA alerts. And it even doubles as a Bluetooth speaker, which you can hear it a lot better on a Bluetooth speaker than you would on your cell phone, whatever it is you're listening to. So ccradio.com. The CC Solar with Bluetooth. If you can't go online, call them. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Customer service in the good old USA 24/7. They'll answer all your questions. And yes, you can order by phone if you want to. But check it out if you can go online. Even better, ccradio.com. The CC Radio Solar. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WBT. Where am I? On WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, one of my favorites on RV 1960, the Olympics, and Shimmy Like Kate. And it was Robin LaGrange who requested it, and he mentioned that that goes back. Oh, does it ever. You know, there are over 300 versions of that song, and the first one was 1921. It was recorded in August of 21, and they released it in 22, Ladd's Black Aces. Originally, they had been called the Memphis Five, and it didn't really sound anything like the Olympics. And I've got versions with words as well, but you can tell by the melody that's what it was. But it's 300 versions later, which is altogether alarming as far as that goes. But I don't think anybody could top the Olympics, but I would say that about a lot of Olympic records. Although at the same time they were recording that, several other people did as well, right? Including Johnny Maddox. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And yes, our most requested caller of late, James on the South Side. So James, how are you? James.
Hello?
Yes, how are you? Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I had found a couple of stories that seemed interesting, although I gotta admit I couldn't quite get them to come to you, even though I tried to put right to explain the story in the email. Not have worked too well either. Like there was the one about the Illinois bill about allowing chicken farming.
Really? Now I'm looking
now
because
I
don't know. Let's see. Okay, here we got. Wow! Look at this. You wound up in spam. How dare it? That can't be right. But here you are. You've sent a lot of things lately. All right. Apparently people don't get to drive a new car off the game show set. Isn't that the truth? The taxes. The problem is, of course, that you sent me videos, and those I cannot look at. So it can only be text.
And I tried to explain it, and it didn't work. No. That didn't work either.
But, yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize how much the taxes are on these game shows, and it isn't an easy thing. what can I say? Not only the taxes, but how they pick you and all that kind of stuff, and then what happens when you wind up the deal. You know, tickets to the show are free, but you can't sell them. Of course, I don't know why they'd want you not to sell them, because after all, half the time they have to fill the audience full of prisoners. But what can I say?
Yeah.
But the sales tax is a killer. So let's say the car was worth $20,000. No, come on, you know it's worth more than $20,000 today's cars. Well, that alone would have been at least $2,000 in sales tax before they let you drive it away.
Oh yeah, and okay, there was an anecdotal thing about remember the time when Oprah Winfrey gave away a whole bunch of cars.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And that turned into everybody's thing of IRS nightmare.
Right. It was that Pontiac G6. And, you get a car, everybody gets a car. And Pontiac provided the vehicles, and it was like $7.6 million worth of vehicles. But what they didn't understand, and I don't know that anybody in the production team really understood it, because the tax on those was $7,000 a piece. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's what it was. And, prizes are taxable income. And so what it was, and you're right, if you remember on that show, she was originally going to give away like a dozen cars, but then she decided she'd award the entire audience a car after realizing how much a new vehicle would change their lives. And so there it was, a brand new Pontiac G6. And the deal was that very few of these people had $7,000. And so the other thing they could do there were a couple things. They were allowed to take the car, sell the car, pay the tax on the cash, or just refuse the gift. But the problem is that it was supposed to be one of those kumbaya moments where everybody got everything, and all they really got was a tax pain. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the Pontiac G6 wasn't a bad vehicle.
No, well, there was
one or two of their years that were kind of bad. But the other ones, I still see some of these cars out there.
Yeah. And, I mean, now it's a collector since there are no Pontiacs made anymore. So that's the deal. But the thing that I always heard about the G6, and I don't know, I never had one, was that just like Corvettes and Jaguars, they would get electrical cancer. They'd have, faulty lights and gauge errors and, things would go up. And yes. Yeah, so, engine problems are one thing.
My father had one.
And did he have
my father had a G6.
And did he have electrical issues?
No, actually, this car was quite good, but here was the problem. Because he got Alzheimer's, he had to give it to somebody else.
Right.
Here's the thing that happened to them, and which caused the electrical issue.
Uh-oh.
The friend that they gave it to, luckily they weren't in the car at the time. Somebody ran out of control and hit several cars, including their car. Actually, really hit their car.
Oh, God.
Hit it from the rear.
Uh-huh.
And, the car survived that, but the repair guys didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
Because when I saw the last time that I saw it, I happened to have the tent. Okay, this person kept complaining about was having electrical issues. And I noted that they hadn't been able to put they had exposed their wires because they repair guys didn't do the proper of putting the bumper thing back together,
right.
The bumper and the rear part of the car back together.
Yeah.
They exposed the wires.
Oh, yeah.
Because the person didn't have a garage.
No, it happens. It absolutely happens. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, sorry to hear that. Now, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I can't complain.
Good. Have you found a place to live?
Oh, I'm doing right now. It's going pretty well where I'm at. So
okay, good.
I'm not really looking at this point.
Good.
Hey, as long as it goes well.
Absolutely.
Don't fret about it.
If there's a roof over your head and you're comfortable, that's enough. Yes. All right.
Yeah. Oh, and one other story I did send had to do with a let's see, what was it? I'll think of it later because I thought I had it in mind, but yeah. it was the third one of these weird kind of storylines, and it had to do with a let's see, what was that? Oh, it had to do with a refund check.
Okay.
Apparently, for what happened, Wells Fargo would not honor a $28,000 refund.
But
check.
Wasn't the check altered in some way?
Yeah, somebody got a hold of it before. Now the original person who it was intended for didn't have anything to do with that.
Right,
part,
right.
What happened? But they basically ended up where they couldn't. They very much, Wells Fargo said, we're not honoring it. Now, it's funny that Wells Fargo, of course, unfortunately, has been on the hook for some very bizarre things involving their own employees opening accounts.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm gonna talk about that on the air. I did know about that, but it's horrifying what's going on now with regard to bank fraud. And all I can say is that it's on us to be very careful and to be checking our balances regularly and everything else, and do not use debit cards. Yep.
I hit. Somebody sent a. It sent like a. Where I noticed it was from Wells Fargo. And I said, they said, it was addressed to my late mother.
Yeah.
Now that told me that this was a red flag already. So when I we're sorry we cannot honor your request for a checking account.
Yep.
And I said, because of certain factors that came up. Yeah, of course. Yeah, for one, the person's not here anymore.
Yeah, it's what can I say? It is always good to hear from you, James, and I hope you'll keep in better touch. Everybody always asks about you.
Okay, I had started to call last night, but basically, because I still haven't gotten the radio, the only thing I would be doing is trying to take guesses at it would be asking for my World War II thing.
Ah, well, you'll be back soon, I hope.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888.
Tell John to get better with this cold.
Yeah, you betcha. All right, so yes, that's my newsman in Globe is out for the week, and so I'm the news girl. And, oh, man, you know, I haven't done this in so long because, you know, there's a protocol. There's 10 newscasts a day in the morning and in the afternoon. And bottom line, at 6:30 this morning, I was still doing them. All right. And my first one was recorded and airing while I was still doing them. What could possibly go wrong here? You know, I did, by the way, in the middle of all this, find the drive with all my audio on it. So we're back in business that way, as you could probably tell for Shimmy like Kate. So we'll talk to Nick in North Chicago coming up. There's room for you, too. And yes, it's not only Wells Fargo. You can read it virtually every bank. So much is going on with regard to fraud that it behooves you to be checking regularly. Yeah, because sometimes time is of the essence, as it was in this case. And we'll talk about that, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I promised I would play Billy Bob's request, and I have to find it here because he wants the Clyde McFadder version, and I'm going to do this, absolutely. And now that the drive is back, of course, can I actually spell anything? Probably not. But yes, I believe that his choice was a lover's question, and here it is.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know. Does she need me as she pretends? Is this a game? Well, then will I win? It's a lover's question I'd like to know. I'd like to know when she's not with me, if she's still true to me. I'd like to know when we're kissing, does she feel just what I feel? And how am I to know it's really real? Oh, tell me where.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Clyde McFadder, oh, did he ever have a voice? And now it's not the original 45 mix, but for whatever reason, I always thought it was such a nice version of that. And it was Billy Bob and Bourbonnais who said, I listened last week and you didn't play it. Well, we ran out of time, so we played it tonight, 1958 on Atlantic. All right, I will get back to those checks, but right now I got Nick in North Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, thank you. It's northwest side of Chicago. You mentioned North Chicago. That's a town north of Chicago.
Yes, it is, but I look at what's on the screen, and thank you for telling me, but yeah, I have no idea. John could write it's Mars, and I'd say, and he's in Mars! Yeah,
I figured that the screener, because they got a lot of pressure on it, I can well imagine. You mentioned earlier in the show that you'd be talking about Alzheimer's dementia. As I understand from another show on WGN that's on, I believe it's Sunday mornings, about health topics, that sometimes I get more from listening to these kind of shows and asking questions than if I were to have somebody give me a paper with some diagnosis on. But my girlfriend has I'm 76, she's 80, and my girlfriend has what the family says is dementia. But I said, well, you have some kind of diagnosis so I could just look at it and better understand, because they feel like I'm not understanding. I said, well, we get along, and what can I say? People deteriorate with age, physically, mentally, visually, you know. It happens, you know. I myself have bad feet, bad knees. I mean, I just slump around, you know. And what else can you do? And I don't, in a small time, I don't sometimes remember some quite well. And I can't recall when I'm talking about something. I get distracted a little. But what can you do? And I'm retired now, 14 years, so. Well, I hate to do this. Do you have any information about the Alzheimer's and dementia?
Yeah, we are going to talk about that. I hate to do this to you. I got to put you on hold and do the news, then we'll come back at it.
Okay.
Dementia, as you know,
okay. You want me to hold on?
Yes, I do. Dementia, as you know, is not a disease. It is. It incorporates a lot of diseases. It's a condition, and so we'll talk about that as well. And it's very frustrating all the way around, to say the least. But Nick's not the only person who is wondering about this, I'm sure. So we'll do that next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, I wake up in the morning with my hair down and my eyes, and she says hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school goodbye. And she reaches out and takes my hand, squeezes it, and says,
how you feeling,
hon? Oh, yes. And I look across at smiling lips that warm my heart and see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I gotta say, oh, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And there's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when myself is feeling low, I think about her face aglow to ease my mind.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. O.C. Smith, 1968, Columbia, Little Green Apples. Bobby Russell wrote that. H.B. Barnum arranged that version, and Jerry Fuller produced it, which is why it sounded so nice. But that was a request, and I had it here in front of me as to who it was. Oh, Sharon. Sharon wanted to hear it. So, okay, Sharon, there you go. You know, we're talking about dementia, and I swear to God, it makes me wonder as far as, you know, people are always saying, your memory is so good. No. In fact, it was at one time. There's no doubt about that, like a steel trap. That's decades ago. Now, more often than not, I start to question myself. And, you know, when we were talking with James, I had noticed that he had sent me the obit of Lamont McLemore, which we haven't talked about yet, actually, from the Fifth Dimension. But here's the deal. Lamont McLemore, long before he went to L.A., long before he was in the Fifth Dimension, he was in a group in St. Louis, a little soul group. And for I had a record that I just loved. In fact, I'm sure that it is on this drive, along with 10,000 others. And it's been driving me crazy, because that's the kind of stuff that used to be top-of-mind awareness, and I just flat-out cannot tell you what that song is, and it's or the group, driving me nuts. So if you know, if you can put me out of my misery, Lamont McLemore, Ron Townsend, I think, might have been in it too, but it was long before the Fifth Dimension were ever thought about. And you don't want to go on Google and see their AI junk, because it won't, no way, it's not giving you anything. But all right, so I opened the show talking about, it was a very interesting study of over 3,000 older adults that they tracked for over 20 years in terms of their cognitive development or lack of same. And it started out, everybody had to be over 65. Everybody had to be of good cognitive health. So nobody could show the signs of dementia at that point. And they tracked them for 20 years, and what they discovered was that certain brain games, particularly speed training, showed that the individuals who were involved with this regularly were 25% less likely to be diagnosed with dementia than those who did no training or other training. And that was what was really interesting, because it was just a form of training that really showed benefits that, you know, and it may be coincidental, who knows, you know, this is clearly not a scientific sample, but it was very interesting results. So anyway, then Nick called, and sadly his girlfriend is said to have dementia, and he's got a lot of questions, and I don't blame you. So are you still with me, Nick?
Oh, yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so now, like I say, the word dementia is that umbrella term for literally over 200 different categories. So do you know if your girlfriend has actually been diagnosed with something? And you're never diagnosed with dementia. You're diagnosed with whatever causes it.
All I was told by her main family is her daughter. It's the only surviving person, and who has the power of attorney over and all that. And all I was told is she has dementia, and just be careful with her. And I said, well, I am careful with her. You know, we've known each other since 2016, not consistently. There's a story behind that. But, you know, and I was shocked to see the last time that I saw her about a year and a half ago, she was like a statue. She came into this one club where people meet and just meet each other, people, and kill some time with a little coffee and little donuts or whatever. And she was like a statue, you know, sitting there, and just like I said, I just almost couldn't believe it.
Right.
But I talked to her; she remembered me, and it got better. So what I'm trying to figure out though is the condition there.
Well,
you talked about some of these exercises that people work. That is important. I think too many people are watching TV physically to get weak, especially older people, and they retire person or remote, not getting up even to change the channel, you know.
Right. All of that can be problematic and contributory. But in this case, the first thing you need to know from her family is what has she been diagnosed with? Again, you're not diagnosed with dementia. Like these days, probably 60-70% of the diagnosis is Alzheimer's disease. But the reality is, they don't tell you this very often, but you can't really prove Alzheimer's disease or not until after the person's dead. So, you know, you have the symptoms and they say...
Oh, that's a nice thought.
Yeah, well, that's really, it's only autopsy based. That's why I say that. Well, but so that's a good, but there are so many other things. Frontotemporal dementia is a brain disorder. All of this is usually under neurology. It's a neurological condition. Lewy body is a big one these days, you hear often. And of course, vascular dementia has been, sadly, of course, been around forever.
Before... I know you've reached a point where you have to then end it with me and this guy. Can I mention one mineral supplement I take? It's that I believe has helped me. It's the cinnamon capsules. It has powdered cinnamon. I put two, pull them apart, put two in my coffee in the morning, and you know, mix it up. And
cinnamon, what is it? Cinnamon?
Not cinnamon rolls, huh?
Cinnamon is what you're using. Okay.
Yeah, cinnamon capsules. It's technically called cinnamon bark capsule. You know, the little stems you can buy, but it's ground down, and it's a mineral supplement. You know, like if you were to get a vitamin D3 for the wintertime mineral supplement. And it took about 3 months. I've been taking it consistently for years, and I had a little feeling on the left side of my temple, just like after about 3 months, something like a straw. When you have a strawberry shake or something, something pops through, you know, a little chunk of strawberry, and it's like something that went, and it took about a month, and my memory seemed to be getting better, and it was not a, like coincidence or anything, or imagining it. And circulation in the brain is important, but that helps to dissolve fat in the system, especially from what I heard. in the veins and arteries. So,
well, yes, cinnamon bark is usually what the supplement is. It's cinnamon bark, and yeah, it inhibits amyloid beta plaque buildup, and so that's where you're getting the connection. And you
I
know,
like the way you talk like that.
Well, that's you know basically what it is, and I have read about that. Yeah, there are a number of supplements, minerals, all that can be tremendously helpful. This is not the thing that anybody should do without some help of somebody who knows what they're doing, because these things are not necessarily 100% benign. And while they very well may help somebody, they also can be a problem for someone else. So I think that I think that complementary medicine is great and probably better than allopathic medicine these days. But I don't think it's a thing that you can just kind of try on your own anything thinking that I got no problem, because you very well may have a problem. But there is a link. They've shown about 40 studies. But again, 40 studies is not a lot of studies, but it looks very promising, to say the least. Now, some of the studies, they're conflicting to a degree, but the big ones was, the one you're talking about, was the inhibition of amyloid beta production. And so, you know, if that turns out to be the case for people, that's tremendous. But of course, you know, we don't know. But if you're doing it and you're feeling good and you're getting good results, then go for it.
Yeah, no problems. Yeah, no problems.
Go for it.
Not that I can tell. I had a complete physical about 6 months ago. Everything was perfect, and I'm grateful for that. I mean, you know, at 76, outside of my birth defects, my feet are killing me lately.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know. Can I ask, just, you don't have to play it, but can I ask if you could play a song?
What is it?
Beach Boys. I wish they all could be California girls.
California girls. All
That's
right.
That's such a nice beat. So nice. Yeah.
California girls. Okay.
Okay. If you can't, that's okay.
Yeah, it may not be tonight, but I'll have it on the list and you will hear it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to talk a little about this particular bank fraud, but there's so many that it is beyond frightening. And if you think that you are being vigilant, you might not be. So the case, and it was James who brought up this woman, and she's actually in Northern California. There's two cases in Northern California, but this one in particular, a woman named Kathy Pham, and she's from San Jose. And she got a delinquency notice in the mail saying she never paid her property taxes. And so she said, well, this is nuts. And she said, I know I did. Did I forget? Well, so... wait a minute, my husband took the check down to the post office, he dropped it off. Well, then she looked at her bank statement, and the bank statement showed the check had been cleared months ago, cleared. So she did her due diligence, she checked her statements every month, she reconciled, and there it was, the amount shows it's clear. So at first she said, I'm going back to the county, I'm going to tell them you cashed my check. And then her husband said, well, you know, let's look at the check, because you don't get your checks returned anymore. But with your statements, you generally do see an image of the check. Now, I say generally, because if you're, you know, depositing by your phone and all that, no, percentage of them, you don't see it. But on many of them, you do. So they looked at the image. The image was there. And what they saw was... absolute fraud. The image was very different than the check that she wrote. A criminal stole it from the mail, used a pen to squeeze letters between the ones she had written to form a new name, and cashed the check. And there was her tax money. In this case, it was $2,400. So not a fortune, but still not a small sum either. But she calls Wells Fargo, and that was her bank of question, but it wouldn't matter. You know, they're all pretty much the same. She calls her bank, and they say, well, there's nothing we're going to do for you because you've waited too long. Now, again, here she is. She's being vigilant. She is looking at her statement. She's seeing this cashed. It didn't occur to her that she needs to look at the image of the check if it's even there. All right, so meanwhile, and insult to injury, she had to repay the taxes with all the penalties. All right, and there was another case, as I was saying, another woman also near San Jose, actually Los Altos, and they dropped their property tax payment into a blue mailbox outside of the post office, and then 3 months later, they get a late notice from the county. And they also say, I paid this. I saw the check hit the account. I know what the money was deposited. Then they clicked on the image, and what they see the check was altered. somebody else cashed it. And there's many ways to do this, but you may not realize it. Very often, it doesn't matter what you do with the names. I had a friend who, he's still alive, thank God, with a corporation, and someone wrote a check to him personally that should have gone to the corporation. He said, what do? I said, deposit it into the corporation, because when you do this remotely, they're not even going to look at the name. He said, really? I said, yeah, if you want to test it out, write Adolf Hitler on it. They're going to cash it. They're going to look at the amount. And sure enough, they cashed it. And it was fine because this was legit at that point. But even if you want to be more fancy than that, the criminals have the chemicals to wipe away the ink and to change it. And in the case of the second couple, Jody and Paul, the check image showed that someone wiped off the name of the tax collector and put in a different name. And it was in a woman's name, not the tax board. Well, in this case, the thief took $28,000. And the couple still had to pay the property taxes plus penalties, another $30,000 in penalties. Obviously, they own an expensive home, but everything in the San Jose area is an expensive home. So now they're out $60,000. They go to the bank expecting a refund. And what they're told is, you didn't notify us within 30 days. Well, of course they didn't, because they reconciled their bank accounts. They saw that the check went through. No problem. It didn't occur to them that they had to take another step. And so I'm telling you this because if you're doing the same thing, and I think many of us are, no, if you're writing any check of substance, look at the check. Look at the image to make sure that it went where you thought it went. Now, in this case, the second couple was also got the same. Your claim was denied because you waited too long. Well, and of course, Wells Fargo can show it in their deposit account agreement, the one that's 42 pages long. This says customers must review bank statements each month and report unauthorized payments within 30 days or lose their rights to a claim. But in this case, you do review the bank statements. You do see the exact check amount that you wrote. Yeah. How many people think that, well, it's the right amount and it's been deposited. Maybe some thief changed the name on it. You know, it doesn't show you on the statement who you wrote the check to. It doesn't say who cashed it. It just says check. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting case, I think, as time goes on. And, you know, when Wells Fargo was asked, they're not exactly sure what a customer should do. The bank updated their account agreement, saying that customers must also review check images to preserve rights to a claim. Well, what do you do when there is no image? And as I say, a certain percentage of these checks, you're not going to see an image. But now, that explicit clause was not in the agreement when these two couples filed their claims. But Wells Fargo said, well, the images were always available. And we empathize with our customer situation. Yeah, right. Give me a break. So bottom line is, one of them went to one of those TV consumer reporters and actually got the money back. But for the most part, you don't. And the bottom line is, the bank says you don't report it within 30 days, you get nothing. So be aware that just rectifying your account will not be enough. Now, in the case of the second couple, Jody and Paul, they tried to research this. They found out that a thief deposited their $28,000 into an ATM in Minnesota at a U.S. bank. And now here's the thing. The mailbox where they dropped their check, well, they went back and now it was sealed off, put out of service. Why? No, according to USPS, too many thefts at that box. I never put mail into boxes. Go to the post office. And apparently, the other woman, the first woman, Pham, was told by Wells Fargo that the thief cashed her check at a Wells Fargo branch in South San Francisco. As I mentioned, she called the TV consumer reporter who encouraged her to appeal, and Wells Fargo ultimately returned her money. The bank did not elaborate on why they did, but not the $28,000 from the other couple, setting privacy rules. But yeah, they're saying, we're trying to continue to recover their funds. No, this should not be shame on you. If you're checking the amounts and you're checking your statement vigilantly, and yeah, when you charge things too, and of course you've got better rights for charge cards. That's why I say don't use debit cards. But for charge cards, always get a receipt And yeah, I don't care if it's for a big gulp at 7-Eleven. Get a receipt and always put that against what the charges are. You may occasionally get a heck of a surprise. But once the thief gets the check, they also have your bank account number. They also have the routing and number. They probably have a whole lot of personal information, because if it's a tax check, you've probably, if it's personal, written your Social Security number on it. God, I hope not, but people do. All right, so yeah, they said to avoid the risk, pay your property taxes and other bills electronically. Yes, well, maybe. That's another issue as well. But nonetheless, yeah, if you weren't afraid before, you probably should be now. So don't take it for granted. Well, it shows a $28,000 check was deposited. Yeah, into whose account? 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I am entertaining myself. I found it. Yeah, that's something you won't hear on any of the Lamont McLemore obits, but that is his group, The Intervals. That's who it was, The Intervals. He and Ron Townsend in St. Louis formed The Intervals, and neither of them were doing a lead on that, by the way. I think that actually was Johnny Gold. But hard to tell. But nonetheless, they were kind of a hit in St. Louis only, as far as that goes. But it was one of those days where it was one of those nights. It was rainy out, but it was hot, and they were just doing street corner stuff. And Red Fox was appearing, and he opened the door to get some air, probably a smoke or what have you. And meanwhile, he hears the group, and I think it was Lamont who said, "Hey, can we do a number on stage?" Basically, they just wanted to be dry. And after Red Fox heard him, they, "Oh, sure, come on in." And so they did, and that was the deal. They got their shot, and then it was let's find a label, and it was Leon Rene, yeah, one of my faves, the Class label that actually did that. And there you have it. And Here's That Rainy Day was just a wonderful song, Class 304. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I'm sure I was going to talk about something, and I have utterly no idea what it was. I know. I promised you I would talk more about these prizes on these quiz shows. And we'll have to have my buddy who wrote the TV book, which I should remember the title of the book. It's a great book, actually. And back on to talk about that. But there's a real downside to the quiz shows. Firstly, how they pick the contestants and all that is half a riot. But the deal is, you win anything, you got taxes. And, you know, if it's the lottery, that's not much of a problem because it's going to come in cash, you know. So you'll lose some of it, and nobody wants to do that, but you'll lose some of it, however much, who knows, to taxes. But when it's a car, or even it's a vacation or what have you, yeah, in some cases, you're going to pay the taxes before you ever get the item. And so in many cases, individuals find out that they're not getting the item at all. All right, so I had a whole thing on that somewhere, and it's gone the way of all flesh. Done that figure. And right. And so I'm seeing press releases for Rio Tinto and Capstone Copper. Yes, it's the local news. So you don't have to hear it. And, you know, I was bound and determined that I wasn't going to be up this morning till 6:30 doing the news. So when it came to the socks, I just made it up. And who's going to know? All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And let's see. I know Bob, who is just a font of links. He's wonderful at this. And I have no idea what I did to deserve him, but I'm glad to know it. He brings me all sorts of things like, what's written on the back of the Declaration of Independence? Yeah, my first thought was somebody's grocery list, right? Well, no, there is a back as far as that goes, and something is actually written on it. And so what would that be? Well, there were, for one thing, there were secret signers. In addition to signatures that we know, others were added over time, a few months, July and August mostly. But names of some signers were kept secret from the public for 6 months. Why? Well, remember, they signed this before the fight of independence was won. And had it failed, they didn't want anybody who had signed it to be labeled a traitor, which makes sense. So now, but what's written on the back? A handwritten note, upside down, bottom of the back of the parchment, really reads, unfortunately, it's not his grocery list. That would have been funnier. But original Declaration of Independence dated July 4th, 1776. Just like labels we save on computers today, it's believed they added the note to help identify the original document from any copies. So who knows? There's a lot of them now, as far as that goes. And so in 1776, how many people were in America yearning for independence, or not? Just how many bodies were here? More than you think, maybe, but a lot less than there are now. 2.5 million people lived in America in 1776. Yeah, 2020, that census, the most recent, 332 million, so a little bigger than anybody thought. So that's the deal. As far as 4th of July, we always think about it as fireworks, and you might think, well, that's something they added later. No, not so quick. John Adams, in a letter to his wife Abigail, suggested using fireworks and illuminations to celebrate the 4th of July. And so, of course, anything where the word fireworks is in the equation, yeah. Hospital emergency room visits, yes. It's more patients than usual on the 4th of July, yeah, due to fireworks injuries. That's right. Leave it to the professionals. All right. And then, of course, you have Thomas Jefferson's laptop. Well, not exactly, but yes. Of course, laptops were not around, and neither was much of anything during the drafting and signing of the Declaration of Independence. Not much of anything that we recognize today anyway. But he had a lap desk, and he used to write on it. And the father of the Declaration of Independence didn't need a grand marble desk or anything fancy to put his ideas into words, just a lap desk. And, you know, you think about that now, and yeah, that's probably what we're putting our laptops on when we're relaxing in bed. All right, so we have lots of historical coincidences, of course, and that's always fun. You can do that with virtually anything, and it is interesting to notice. But as far as some of the July 4th coincidences, Independence Day, 1826, both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died exactly 50 years after the birth of the nation they helped create. 5 years later, in 1831, James Monroe became the third president to die on the 4th of July. Yeah, but that's not all. President Calvin Coolidge was born on the 4th of July, and he's the only president born on Independence Day. So as far as how we celebrate it, well, usually you just count the hot dogs, right? 150 million hot dogs are sold on Independence Day alone. Yeah, so let's see, 332 million of us now. So we're not all eating the hot dogs, but I assume some are eating a lot more than one. So there you have it. If you want to join me, that would be good. We can talk about absolutely nothing. Yes, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing it has no political significance whatsoever. And other than that, I'll just continue to prattle on. Yes, there was a list of 6 jobs that paid more than in the past. And then, yeah, that would be all of them. What do you mean 6? Just look at the signs for McDonald's. But how about 6 jobs that paid more in the past than they do today? Yes, and not necessarily fixed for inflation as far as that goes. Now, of course, we've all talked about the jobs that have gone away entirely, like the million telephone operators that were there in 1970 for the Bell system that are 100% gone now. But in the 50s through the 80s, stockbrokers had an elite position. Yeah, well, because trading commissions were fixed, information was scarce. Brokers acted as essential gatekeepers to financial markets. And so considering that compensation was heavily commission-based, not consistently captured in government wage data, we're not sure. But the average salaries in 1969 were pretty much over $20,000. Yeah, so fixed for inflation, that would, of course, be quite the sum. But even then, $20,000 in 1969 was pretty good money. Now, deregulation, May 1st, 1975, May Day. It eliminated fixed commissions and fundamentally changed the industry. That's true. That's when you started to see the discount brokerages and the online trading platform. Well, online trading platforms later, but the start of it, to say the least. And algorithmic trading. And so individual brokers didn't have the kind of power they once had, to say the least, including pricing power with that. But still, with the new rules, many brokers clearly continued to command some nice change, over $250,000 by today's standards. But here's the deal. Today's median salary for a securities, commodities, or financial services salesperson, $78,000. That is not a lot of money in the scheme of things. Not that you'd mind it, and probably me too, but it's not really a lot of money. And it's interesting, though, what passes as a financial advisor. Yeah, I know. I laugh at that because some are, spruced up salespersons for whatever equity funds their employer is touting. Yeah, I've seen that more often than not, and it really makes me cringe. But some brokers still earn commission or performance-based bonuses on top of their base pay. But again, very often it's related to the brokerage house from which they're employed. A small minority still earn very high incomes. But now the average stockbroker makes a fraction of what the role once commanded. Now, there was a time where commercial airline pilots were among those highly paid professionals in the transportation sector, hell, in the country. The average annual salary for a pilot in the 70s was $57,000, which was a good chunk of change. And captains were earning over $100,000. And, easily on the major carriers, not to mention the generous pensions and all that defined benefit retirements and job security. If that were all taken as a package today, that would be about $570,000. But we get to the Airline Deregulation Act of 1978 and the rise of regional and low-cost carriers. And today, the median pilot earns closer to $138,000. And many pilots earlier in their career earn far less. Steel workers, if you're adding inflation to the mix, are making a lot less money today than they were years ago. All right, so we'll get to Don and Beloit and Andy and Nora. Drew, Ral, Donner. We played some of that last night. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy. If you are serious, don't play with my heart, it makes me furious. But if you want me to love you, then a baby I will. Girl, you know I will. Tell it like it is. Don't be ashamed. Let your conscience be your guide. But I know deep down inside of me, I believe you love me. Forget your foolish pride. Life is too short to have sorrow. You may be here today and gone tomorrow.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Aaron Neville, of course, 1966 on Parlo. You're saying, what's that? It's a little label from New Orleans that no one else has ever heard of, and I don't know what else was on it, but Aaron Neville sure was with Tell It Like It Is. And that request was... Excuse me, Mike in Wisconsin wanted to hear that. It took me a few days, but yes, we're getting around to them all. Worry not. We'll even have Don's, I'll probably do Tipitina, even though it's not his favorite, but his Professor Longhair. And then I would argue there's another song most associated with Mardi Gras, certainly in the 60s and 70s. I don't know, not before that, obviously, and after that, I don't know how much, but we'll play some Jesse Hill. All right, but in the meantime, Andy is in Norwich. All right, Andy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you very much, Raleigh. Good evening to you and your listeners. I'm no expert on Raul Donner, but I know you played one of his songs yesterday because February 10th was his birthday.
Yes.
And he did have a couple of hits that went up the charts pretty well. He died fairly young, I think at 41.
Yeah,
of lung cancer.
1985, I think.
Yeah, and it was like not long after Elvis passed away, but in the meantime, they came out with a kind of a bio picture on Elvis that was very good. You never hear much about it anymore. It's called This Is Elvis, and he did the narration of it as if he was Elvis to the film. He has a couple of sons. One is named Eric, and the other one is named Raul Jr., and they both perform in the Chicagoland area, and maybe a little bit out of the area also, but mostly just in the Chicagoland area. I've seen both of them. Eric's terrific. Raul is pretty good, I don't know what else I could tell you about him, but he's a graduate of a public high school in Chicago called Taft High School,
right,
on the northwest side of the city, where he grew up. And I graduated from that school. I was only there for a couple of years, but way after Raul, probably maybe 10 years after him. Other than that, that's all I got to offer there. And I'd also like to request one Elvis song, kind of an obscure one, but kind of a catchy tune called In Your Arms.
Okay, let's write this down. Yeah, I just looked up, Raul. It was 84. I remember this because I was a radio editor at Billboard at the time, and I got a call from Dick Biondi when he was sick, when Raul was sick, saying, hey, could you do something? You know, and we did. We wrote something in Box Jocks, got raised a little bit of money for him or whatever, but it was obvious it was not going to be a long, long time for Raul. And the thing I played last night on the Scotty label was actually the first thing he ever recorded. So, the late 50s. And so In Your Arms, Elvis, is that what you want?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's probably from one, it's probably an album cut.
It is.
Maybe his post-Army years, not before the British invasion.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, the I think that Elvis died in like August of 78, so it was about
77.
It was 77, or I guess it would be right. I remember where I was. I was on the air in Indianapolis, so yeah, that would have been 77. But
in Indiana?
Yeah, absolutely. WIBC. In Indianapolis.
And you were on when they were when they broke the news?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, but the strangest one as far as people dying and breaking the news was I was, for many years, I was on the air in Philadelphia. And of course, in Philadelphia, Frank Sinatra was everything. And they had a show, Sid Mark did Sundays with Sinatra on the radio. Anyway, I was doing the show from Texas because I had brought a lawsuit against the LBJ family. And yes, I won. But in any event, I was doing the show from a radio station there. And it was... it was like Friday night, and one of the guys from Austin was in the studio with me, and I said, I need to do a sound check, and so I called in, and it was Sid Mark. I can't do a sound check. Frank Sinatra has died. I said, well, all right. And so when I told the people in Austin that, well, we can't do a sound check because Frank Sinatra has died, they were like, no, really, what are you talking about? You know, I said, well, that's the deal. And John and I laugh about this to this day. They absolutely didn't believe me when I said, no, you don't understand. This is a national holiday for Philadelphia anyway. You know, that's life will stop this weekend. And indeed it did.
That was sometime in the late 90s, maybe?
Yes, it was 98. It was May of 98. I'll never forget it. Yeah. And one of the stations there was kind enough to let me do my show from there for a couple of weeks while I was doing the trial. And
you mentioned that you were doing some news broadcasts today on your station.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Was there much in the way of stories about that? You know, the kidnapping of
That's all over. Now, here's the deal. When you own small market radio stations, and I do mean small market radio stations, you know, you're crazy if you do national or even state-wise news that's going to be covered by everybody, because everybody can hear that. So what I do is things that are local, absolutely local to Globe Miami. And hang on a minute. Don't go away. Speaking of the news, I think I just just blew it. Stay where you are, and we'll pick it up after the news on WGN Radio.
Why that happy smile upon your face?
Oh, you'd smile too if you were in my place.
Well, tell me, Billy, did you pick a fortune up somewhere?
You know it. I'll tell the world I did, and she's a bear.
Oh, does she love you?
Positively.
Do you love her?
Absolutely.
Positively?
Absolutely, and how?
Classy dresser?
Positively.
Thumb caresser?
Absolutely.
Positively?
Absolutely, a wow.
Say, does she look like me?
Did I say no?
I hope you two agree.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, baby.
Who is she? I wish I knew, dear.
Why, it's no one else but you, dear.
Positively.
Absolutely, and how? I sure lost my heart when I found you. But I'd like to know a thing or two.
Aw, honey, we're just two of a kind.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I don't remember who requested it, but gave me some lyrics. Positively, absolutely. I saw it's going to be easy to find. Aileen Stanley and Billy Murray. He was on the radio, born in like the 1870s, and she was a singer of sorts, born in Chicago, like I think the 1890s. But positively, absolutely. Actually, it was called Does She Love Me? Positively, absolutely. And that was Shellac, obviously, 1927, on Victor. So whoever requested it, I hope you're listening, because I'm sure nobody else listening wanted to hear it. But now you have. We're talking to Andy in Norwich. So, Andy, are you still with me?
I am. It was an interesting song to listen to.
Yeah.
Not something I would have requested or ever even heard of, but an interesting song to listen to.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing it.
Absolutely.
Raleigh, two other things that came to mind. One was talking about bank checking statements and issues there. Now, I'm guessing that maybe up until about maybe 15 years ago, my savings and loan, where I've had my checking account for like over 40 years, would always send me whatever checks were cash canceled, you know,
right.
On a monthly basis. They'd send them all back to me. It stopped, and I think they said that if you ever need to see one, we could produce a copy for you,
right.
But we're stopping, you know, we're not going to send them to you anymore for whatever reason, probably financial reasons.
Oh, sure. That's more than 20 years ago. And you mentioned savings and loans. They've been gone since the 80s. If you remember that was that.
The name of mine is an savings bank.
Exactly.
Bank. So what's the difference? I don't know.
Oh,
yes, you're right.
It's a big difference.
Changed with the deregulation of the banking industry.
Well, actually, it was because of the mortgage meltdown. It was a very big deal. SNLs did not operate under the same charters as banks. And, oh, man, did they hang for it. Because one of the things was they prohibited the banks and the SNLs from issuing CDs greater than a certain percentage, and unfortunately, T-bills were much higher than that at the time. So you had a lot of these SNLs with holding out loans that were at fairly low interest rates, and everybody being able to get high interest rates on their money. And then, of course, there were the backdoor collusions and all that. And of course, Lincoln Savings, Charles Keating was probably the biggest of the offenders, but there were many others. And that was a big scandal in the 80s. And it's funny because I had money in Lincoln Savings, which was Keating, and never really thought about it. I had a safe deposit box there, too. And one day I realized, oh, wait a minute, the bank is gone. And so I had to figure out, well, where the hell did it? And by the way, they did have it. I had no problem. But I hadn't thought about that in years. But John was asking for a keychain recently. And I said, here, have one from Lincoln Savings. So, hard to believe. Times have changed.
You mentioned about a check was washed and somebody else wound up cashing it for the same amount. So you don't on my monthly statements, it just says a check number.
It doesn't
say anything more.
Exactly.
I don't know why it would say anything more. You know, but they're not going to write down who you made the check out to. So. There's no way that you would know it.
Well,
no way that you would.
Most of them now, most of the banks, when they send your statement, along with it, on like page 4 and 5 of the statement, are images. You can see the check images.
Not on mine.
Well, the other thing, do you bank online with them at all? Usually you can go online.
No, I try to stay away from that.
I don't blame you. Yeah. I absolutely don't blame you. But yes, it is a problem. How would you know? And then they're hiding under that if you don't tell them within 30 days, they're not liable.
Well, I mean, next time I, you know, have reason to go into lobby there, I'm going to, you know, speak to someone about it just to get their input on it. Get their input and et cetera. Other thing that I wanted to mention to you, last thing. A movie came out maybe 3 or 4 years ago called Elvis.
Okay.
And it was produced or directed by a fella named Baz Luhrmann.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's coming out with another movie in about, I think, next week. It's going to be on, I don't know if it's going to be in all theaters or just IMAX presentation, called Epic, EPIC, Elvis Presley in Concert. And supposedly when he was getting film and information for the previous production, this is what I read online, he had to go into a salt mine in the state of Kansas somewhere where film is stored, and he's searching for old Elvis film, concert film, and supposedly it was a huge charge for him to go in there to do this, like $100,000. It didn't make sense to me, but anyway, he did that, and he said there was so much really good footage from his initial days where he played in Las Vegas, when they came out with a movie called That's the Way It Is. And it was just a concert movie, you know, concert footage of him playing in Las Vegas. And he said there was so much more that he decided to come out with this other movie and present it in this big image. And that's supposed to come out next week.
Wow.
It's going to play, I know, a couple of IMAX theaters in the Chicago area, one in Woodfield, one in Oak Brook, and I don't know, there are probably others too. But anyway, I was told that by a friend of mine who is a huge, huge Elvis fan. He told me, hey, did you hear about this movie? He said, no, I didn't hear anything about that movie. And I still haven't heard anything on it anywhere else other than from him.
I would imagine that the time at Underground Vaults, and that's what it is in Hutchinson, Kansas, was probably minor compared to the time clearing the rights for this stuff. So that would be the interesting thing. But yeah, underground vaults, you know, they're 650 feet below ground, and they've got low humidity and a constant temperature of 68 degrees. And there's a lot of reasons people use this company. There's also a warehouse in Southern California, Los Angeles, off of Highland. It's a beacon storage place that a lot of TV shows use that as well, because far too many people lost, especially with the kinescopes and all that, lost things that they didn't store store correctly. So hence underground vaults in mine and Hutchinson. So yeah, it's absolutely.
And one last thing, Raleigh, I miss your dear caller, Scotty.
Yeah.
From the south side or south suburbs here in Chicago.
We do too. I know. Yeah. I hope he's in a much better place and singing doo-wop every night. Now, you, by the way, asked about the local news that we do. I'll tell you a little about what it is. It wouldn't be anything national or anything like that. It's news that people in Globe, Miami can really use. Like, for instance, the main highway in and out of town is closed 3 days a week, very often, completely to traffic for most of the day. So we always let them know when it'll be open, when you can go through it, when you can't. Or the latest thing, and this is going to be a real cluster. I can already feel this coming up. We had floods, and they were really horrible. But one of the things that the city of Globe got was a loan from Natural Resources Conservation Service. It's part of the EWP program. Well, in the loans, they give you the money back. That's a reimbursable thing. But you have to complete everything from the planning through the documentation. Everything has to be done in 220 days. This cannot happen in Globe. So it's going to be, we're all playing beat the clock now. 220 days is nothing there. You can wait 220 days to get a repair person. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that on the news, I think. So that's it. It's stuff like that, you know, the local stuff, and the town of Miami forming a committee to combat blight. They can't combat blight. Believe me, that what they need is a good fire, and they have them occasionally. So, yeah, so that's our life. All right.
Raleigh, I appreciate you taking my call.
I'm glad you did. Thank you. Do it again.
All right. Good night.
All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Don. We'll get to Eduardo. We'll get to Cleveland Dennis. I believe it just says Cleveland, but I think that's Cleveland Dennis and Elgin. And there's room for you, too, if you'd like, on WGN Radio.
Yo!
W. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Now, to me, that is quintessential Mardi Gras music. 1960, Jesse Hill, Oop Oop A Doo. Yeah, I'm sure they're playing it to this day. And Jesse Hill was interesting. He was a drummer. He was for Professor Longhair and also played with U Piano Smith for years and then got into singing and songwriting and has some wonderful things. Yeah, the pot's on strike. All right, and more. So, but yeah, Oop Oop A Doo, just a classic. And with that in mind, and yes, I will play Professor Longhair and Tipitina, probably his best known record, though, as Don was saying, and correctly so, not the one most associated with Mardi Gras. That would be Back to Mardi Gras. All right, so Don and Malloyd is back. All right.
Yeah, yeah. How's it going, Raleigh?
All right.
Yeah, I like going to Mardi Gras. Yeah, that's my favorite of his. Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to clear my throat here. Yeah, too much hockey tonight.
Ah.
I was just curious, like, did you have a particular Mardi Gras favorite of Marsha Ball's? I've been listening to some Marsha Ball's
No, not
Mardi
really.
Gras.
I like her stuff, but, you know, when it comes to Mardi Gras, no one trumps Jesse Hill for me.
Interesting. Okay. I mean,
that is
wow,
the one.
There's so much out there.
That is the one by far standalone ahead of everybody else in the crowd.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just me. As I say, it would probably be number two to Professor Longhair in his about Mardi Gras if you were looking at it on a list. But I don't care. Just in my taste, Jesse Hill wins.
Did you have to officially cover Mardi Gras as a
No. No.
Okay.
No. You know, a guy.
Now, that'd be an interesting mobile with you and a
no,
band or something.
No,
I could just picture
no,
it.
No. I don't do things like that. So I don't do anything like that. Never did.
Well,
and my favorite thing like that, because, you know, we were all asked to do things. And I remember one year, and this is a long time ago, a friend of mine at WQAM, and this would be like the 50s, was asked to be in the Orange Bowl parade. Cliff Hall Jr., he's no longer alive, so I can say that now. And Cliff was so incensed that he was going to be in the Orange Bowl parade because he was not having it. And at the time, Dade County and Miami were two completely separate entities. They hadn't joined forces or anything. Well,
sure.
He rented a backhoe and all. Anyway, he changed the parade route. And so, but the funniest thing wasn't that. It was that the road that he had dug up was dug up for like a month because the city claimed the county was doing it and the county claimed the city was doing it. And the reality was Cliff didn't want to be in the parade. So, you know, that's my favorite parade story. But, you know, that's what you get for you know, forcing someone to be in a remote situation.
Yeah. I guess he could have rented an 18-wheeler and just parked it somewhere across the route.
He decided he'd dig up the road.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So it happened. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Well, actually, I think I did do something. So I can talk for another 2 minutes here, I think. All right. So
okay.
Go ahead. Now, what are we saying?
Well, I just kind of wanted to switch gears and talk about hominids and that what they call Dragon Man. There's been a lot of research. You know, this Chinese guy discovers it in the mid-30s, and he hides the skull, and it only has one tooth. And they discover it again, like I don't know, about 20 years ago. It turns out it is a Denisovan, this Chinese skull, and it's early Denisovan. But it only had one tooth, and they can't get any DNA, but when they look at this, there's one tooth, they go behind it, and they get all this dental plaque, and they get a really good DNA sample from it. It's just kind of interesting. I've been kind of reading about this off and on for the past several months.
Now, is this the tooth in Laos that they found?
Well, it's Harbin. It's near the Thumpin Dragon River. Somewhat related to the it's similar to the Siberian, you know, fragment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, which would be the 131,000-year-old fossilized molar in Laos belonging to a young Denisovan girl. I have absolutely no idea. No idea, and it represents only the second Denisovan fossil found outside of Siberia, suggesting a broad, adaptable, and tropical range. Yeah. And what do they know? I mean, who knows? It's all possible, but after all, we're building hypotheses based upon a couple bones and some teeth. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Well, with that thought, I thought I would give you a nice smile.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you so much. All right, take care.
Right, bye-bye. Okay, bye. And we will get him some Professor Longhair coming up next right here on WGN Radio.
Tell you what's Carnival for. Get your ticket in your hand. You wanna go to New Orleans. Get your ticket in your hand. You wanna go to New Orleans. You know when you get to New Orleans, somebody'll show you the Zulu King. Down on St. Claude and Dumas. You know you see the Zulu King down on St. Claude and Dumas. And if you stay right there, I'm sure you'll see the Zulu Queen.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original 45, sounds like it, doesn't it? On the Ron label, that's no two ends. It's not Stan Lewis in Shreveport. Ron was actually Joe Ruffino in New Orleans, and you can't name too many things on Ron. Yes, it was written and produced and recorded at Cosmo Metasas, the studio that was at Governor St. Nicholas and in 1959. So I don't think it holds a candle to Oop-Oop-A-Doo, but that's just me. And that was a year before Oop-Oop-A-Doo. And both are still pretty huge at Mardi Gras. So, yeah. But I would argue that when you're talking Professor Longhair, apart from Mardi Gras, Tipitina is the quintessential record. All right. And maybe we'll play that too. It's hard to tell. But right now, we are going to welcome Eduardo back to WGN Radio. What's happening, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh, let me request a song here, because they were talking about the Eagles on the CBS Sunday Morning Show. And I'm going to request Heartache, if I said that right.
All right.
There's a song, Heartache, by the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll have to be very strong the day I'm going to play the Eagles so that I don't vomit, but we'll see.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like
I mean, Glenn Frey was. I thought he was. I like Glenn Frey. I know there was Don Henley and you know other people there.
No, some of the stuff they did as solo artists actually was better. I thought, but yeah, okay, we'll do it.
Yeah, I think you get a point there. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So,
back to your conversation with dementia, so that came in the news because they were saying coffee and tea was going to be good for them.
Well,
did you hear that story?
Yeah, I did hear that story. But there are, that's what I mean, there's so many studies, and they're, at this point, none of them, we would call them scientific or whatever, but everybody's looking for anything that will, in fact, you know, stay the progression. But you're talking again about over 200 conditions that result in dementia. So what we don't know about this is so much more than what we do. And what works for one person may not work for another. But I'll tell you what, if somebody wants to try drinking coffee or tea, go ahead. You know, trust your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, just one more thing. You're over there in Arizona. There's an entry point in Nogales, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, I know it well. What about
it? No, because there's a town called Rico.
Rio Rico. That's actually just a little south of Tucson. That's in Pima County. And, yeah, I think that's
where that's where they got
they're questioning
somebody
that,
of interest.
Yeah, right. But no,
and then I look at it on the map. Oh, Nogales is nearby.
No,
so
but
I figured maybe there's a...
No, you really think about it more being south of Tucson because it's in Pima County, as is Tucson. But Nogales is interesting.
Okay.
One of the reasons I kind of hold my nose at Nogales, it's actually just a small interstate, I-17. But when they built this, you know, that was when I was driving the interstates, and I wanted to complete the interstates because, after all, the federal government never did. So, you know, I was driving them all. I refused, absolutely refused to drive I-17. Why? Because they do not post the miles in that we understand. They post them in kilometers. And I'm like,
I'm sorry.
I'm in the United States. You do not. You do not. Put this, you know, obviously when I'm in Canada, you know, you expect that. That's the way the country does things. And I remember when they changed in the 60s, I thought it was crazy then, but the people went along with it. Okay, fine.
Right.
You know, so I expect, although, you know, it's funny because we were always changing, you know, kilometers into miles. How many is this? How many is that? And we were driving through a town with the population, and John said, well, how many in kilometer? I'm like, no, people don't, people don't change. They're the same in either. But yeah, so, so Nogales is a big crossing. Of course it is. But there's many, many, many. You know, I mean, if you want to get across the border in Arizona, it's not hard to do.
Okay. So. All right, you're winding down here, so I'll call back tomorrow or Thursday. But thank you very much for that insight.
I will count on it. Thanks. And, yeah, well, interesting to see.
Okay.
I think there's more questions about Nancy than there are answers. We'll see what happens.
Right.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks.
We'll see what happens.
Appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Because remember when it was announced on the 31st, it was like, she needs her medicine. She'll be dead within days. Well, it's 11 days now. All right. But we don't know, is the truth. We know nothing. And the rumors are just, well, Tucson is just resplendent with rumors at this point. All right. Cleveland Dennis, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah. Hi, Raleigh. Let me turn off my other radio here.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm glad I'm able to talk to you. Yeah, Joe Walsh, James Gang, Cleveland. Remember him well from the East Side.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of calling. I'll make a comment about I deal with Chase, and they still send the check images for three or four checks I cut every month.
Right, the images, but they don't send the checks, do they?
Right, they used to, but it's over.
Yeah,
they don't want to burn up paper,
right.
Who knows?
Nobody sends the checks, but yeah, most banks do send the images. And I guess we better watch them.
Yeah. No, I look at my statement. I got a lot of debit transactions, but I like to look at it every month, keep track of the money, but I don't care for Wells Fargo, as you mentioned them. And the savings and loans, they all went public. We used to run around putting money into any savings and loan, waiting for them to go public so we could double up on the money. Anyhow, I'm really calling about the Titanic. You had a fellow last week that called in, had a lot of interesting information.
Yes.
But I want to remind everybody that the last person that survived the Titanic, she was about... I think she was just an infant, but she survived that. She lived here in Elgin. She died about, 2015.
Okay. All right. The,
and,
the last one I knew was Melvina Dean, and that was a while ago. She was English. She was supposedly the youngest survivor of the Titanic, but I don't know.
Well, I know about it because she lived here. and that's what I got on it. But I could tell you this about the Titanic. When they discovered it, like in 1985 or so, I watched it on, you know, public television, and they had divers go down there, and they had the lights on it. But the deck plates, or the sword tops that are on deck, they were from Edinburgh, Scotland, Napier Brothers, my family name. I was very surprised at the time when I saw that. But that's really all I got about the Titanic. But I really liked what that fellow discussed with you. I think it was last week.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. And, you know, I'm going to find, now that I have to unpack anything, the book that that guy wrote who I had on when I was doing Coast to Coast, who, you know, claimed he was the reincarnation of the shipbuilder. And I'll have to find him. Yes, it was a fascinating story. And, yeah, all the corners that were cut by that cruise manufacturer.
You know, yeah, I do remember a little bit about that because they wanted to make the deadline and so forth
on.
And I don't know if I think that they were building those ships up in Liverpool at the time. Yeah. But I need to make a request if I can. I just heard something in the last day or two, and it was like one of these albums where they had a couple different groups featured on them.
Okay, what is it?
On the album and together, and you could play any one of these if you can, you know, find them. Or I'm sure you'll have them, or you can get them. But let me see here on my list that it's "Ice Cream Baby" by the Pearls.
Oh yeah, sure, I've got that. Absolutely, I've got that on a 45. Absolutely, because it's one of my favorite little labels. Yeah, absolutely. By the way,
also,
not to interrupt or correct you, but I think that the Titanic was built in Belfast.
In Belfast,
yeah,
okay.
On the White Star Line. Yeah, Ismay
Very
was
good.
The guy who was the chairman of White Star Line, and that's the guy who drove the shipbuilder to do these things. That I'll have to find him, and if he's still alive, I'll have him on, because it's a great story.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. The album also featured "Tree in the Meadows" by the Pearls.
Right.
But the other group was the Velours.
Oh, I love the Velours. Like, can I come over tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
There's some tight harmonies going on with these two groups, the Pearls and the Velours.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
On their individual cuts. But anytime you can play those,
yeah,
I'll be listening. But that's really all I got, Raleigh. Yeah.
That was on Onyx. And the Onyx label little discography, when the guy in Long Island put it together, the Golden Doo-Wop series, Onyx was the first label he chose. And so there's a lot of Velours, there's a lot of Pearls, and I'll be happy to play you some of that. I love it.
Yeah, well, it's rather new to me. You know, I listen for this stuff all the time on your station and on WGN here, but I just thought those were rather unique sounding groups in the early 50s.
Yeah, latter 50s, actually. But great, great, great. I love them both. Most everything on Onyx I liked. We'll talk about the whole label some night. All right,
interesting.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Good deal.
All right.
So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Ice cream. Ice cream, baby, just a one gallon of love. The only little girl I'm thinking of. You got a beautiful smile, eyes like pistachio, lips are like a cotton candy, a heart that's a pure as gold. Raspberry, vanilla, cherry. Yes, sir, you're my ice cream, baby. A sweet, a peach, a sundae. And I'll tell all the world that you're my dream girl.
all the world. That's a magic girl.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, so those are the Pearls, Ice Cream Baby, 1957 on Onyx. Onyx was a little label owned by a songwriter, Jerry Winston, and there were some great stuff on Onyx, but yeah, the Pearls were wonderful, and Ice Cream Baby, I don't know, it's I'm kind of debating between that as my favorite or Let's You and I Go Steady.
It's you and I go standing like my sister to bed. Come on, let's all get ready. We're gonna have some fun tonight.
Oh,
let's go and see a movie, girl. And I make a thing groove in my heart. I'm full of love and I'm gonna give it all to you. Because you are my heart's delight. I wanna tease, I squeeze, I please you, baby. Without you, what would I do?
WGN Radio. So there it is. That's You and I Go Steady. And the Pearls were an interesting little group. Even though Onyx was New York all the way as far as a label, the Pearls were actually from Detroit. And among them, the lead singer was Howie Gutten. But the deal is one of the members doing piano and tenor was Dave Clowney. You probably know him better as Dave Baby Cortez. Absolutely. And Derek Martin, you betcha he was in that group. And that's another name. Yeah, Daddy Rolling Stone. And so much more. So, yeah, that was a good little group, the Pearls. And before that, they were the Five Pearls. All right, so we'll play more Onyx one of these nights because it's just a great little unknown label. John in Covington, welcome back to WGN Radio. John, are you
there? Hello?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, I can barely hear you, Roy.
I wonder why.
Okay. My newest Clover find is I Say Don't Worry, Baby, or I Say Don't Worry, Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Do you know that one?
Yeah, I don't think that's the name of it. I'm trying to think of the lyrics.
Anyway, it starts out. The guitar on this thing is so good. It's so unbelievably good. But yeah, that's my newest Clover find. Is I Say Don't Worry, Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
That's really weird. I'm not sure I have this. I'm trying to think of what it would be. I don't know.
all right. It starts out. It starts out like a teenager's tuning in his radio, and then it goes from there. It is really, really good. You'll have to check it out. I promise you, you'll like it.
That's really
imagine me telling you something about the Clovers.
Absolutely. Do you know when they recorded this?
No. It sounds like an album cut, though.
Well, that wouldn't
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you don't know. It has to be.
But by the way, no, that doesn't mean that. But that wouldn't be necessarily a long list. But no, remember, the Clovers were recording things after their period of popularity, to say the least, to be kind to them.
Okay.
But, you know, because their last actual hit was, you know, Love Potion Number 9. But,
and
they
I'll tell you.
If it's older, they were on Rainbow originally, but they didn't really do anything till they got to Atlantic. And I'm trying to think of that first album they did in 56. They just called Clovers. That's the one that had like Lovey Dovey and Ling Ting-a-ling and I Played the Fool. And yeah, their version of Blue Velvet and Here Goes the Fool, but Devil or Angel, you know, all that stuff. But
well,
I none of that sounds right now.
I'll put this studio musician guitarist against Jimmy Page and any of them. That's how good this guitarist is.
Let me look at this. I'm now looking at what they did on Winley, because after they left Atlantic, they were on Winley. And do any of those seem like that would be it? And no, nothing comes to mind that I recognize that would be it. And they also had a very weird thing. This was really Unguaranteed. And this would have been the 80s. But I'm sure it's, well, it could be, but I don't think it's on that.
Yeah, this is for the time period, the way the guitar sounds. It has to be probably 70s, I'd say.
Well, you've ended the show, and you've given me something to think about, so I will. All right, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
See you later.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Hope so. The Missing Clovers record. Ah, plenty to talk
That's
about
right.
Tomorrow night. All right, thanks. 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. So I hope that 21 hours from now, you'll do it again on WGN Radio.
Brooklyn Slimest, plus Frankfurter Flip, and In Case He Jones, I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Brooklyn for bozos, 57 swastikas and nothing brawn, a clan of clueless cowards pounced on a playground in Gravesend, Brooklyn, home to a proud Jewish population. The weasels waltzed in with spray paint and smeared the slides with hate symbols, also name-checking their hopeless hero Nitwitler. The schmucks spree, the second in 2 days. The heat now on the hunt for the Hitler-loving hillbillies. They can run, but they cannot slide. Coney Dog Deal, a boardwalk legend, just got bun-boxed. Nathan's Famous is being bought by the owners of Armor Hot Dogs, adding another all-American Frankfurter to an already stuffed stable of sausages. 100 years of seaside sizzle now slides into a larger meat machine, promising business as usual. Same snap new spreadsheet. Fans can relax, the dogs aren't changing, just the hands holding the tongs. Turns out even iconic Coneys eventually get corporately cased. Cocaine Plow Boy, a glazy blade of winter in the Nutmeg State as a snowplow driver in the throes of a blowstorm, cops say. Spurred plow scares into floored. Driving with that brain high on snow cane, allegedly, turned a nice quiet nabe into a winter Sunderland. Things went bitter with Coke cops claim as the cuckoo for cocoa crashed his way into a couple of homes and several cars. The snowman reportedly told cops he'd done 3 bumps of cocaine. First day on the snow job, certainly the last. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.